Welcome, everybody, to the Script Doctor podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently, they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy, has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better.
Sup, Casey?
Hi, David.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Conflicted.
Why is that?
Because I'm having a good time recording the podcast, but we're about to talk about a freaking awful film called Star Wars Episode 8. The Last Jedi.
Why would we talk about awful films?
Because we're self-loathing.
How exciting.
Sure. That's the word we'll use, is exciting. Yeah. Oh, God. I was asking for this, wasn't I?
I think so. You wanted to do these films, so...
I did.
Yeah.
Well, we can get to it, can't we?
We can.
So this is episode 3 of our podcast.
Star Wars The Last Jedi, if you haven't gathered already.
Yeah, this was a movie. It's the sequel to Force Awakens, the second entry in Disney's Star Wars sequel trilogy. And it was written and directed by Rian Johnson.
Who's that?
He is a director.
And writer.
A writer and director, but like... But the salient point here is that, as far as our discussion goes, is that he is practically some dude as far as, like, Disney handing this off to this person. Before this, he directed a few films. I've seen two of his movies, but one of them was kind of eh. It was a detective movie. And then he's only directed one sci-fi movie before this, and it was pretty good. It wasn't amazing. Like, none of his credentials would tell me and make me think, like, yes, this person should helm one of the most important sequels that has ever existed in film history.
And complete creative freedom to do whatever he wanted.
He had complete creative freedom to do whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. Let's emphasize this again as far as Disney's sequel trilogy goes. There was no plan, there was no overarching outline as far as like where these characters should go, where these plot threads were heading, and where it all kind of concluded. There was nothing. Nada. Zero.
David, didn't you say they had no plan in Force Awakens?
Yes, and I want to emphasize this once again, because J.J. Abrams did leave a loose outline, but Rian Johnson was like,
nah.
Eh. Yeah, he's like, nah, brah. Just no. It is so wild where Rian Johnson takes this movie. And wild in the sense that, like, he goes, like, in really crazy places with this movie. But then it all ends up in the exact same place where Star Wars was at the very beginning of the movie. As in, we still have a rebel force versus an evil empire. And there's one Jedi and then one evil Sith person, Sith kind of person, on both sides. It just makes it seem like Star Wars is just creatively bankrupt.
Possibly.
That's it's really sad.
I just want to let the record show, again, I'm just here for moral support. If you hadn't known, in the last episode, I did not speak as much as David. Again, I do like these movies, but he has so much more to say than I do, and I just kind of want to let him
get
these things off of his chest and just be here to say, okay.
We don't have enough time for that. There's not enough time for me to actually really get everything off my chest. I could be on this for hours.
Oh, I know.
Like, it's insane how much of this movie is just off. So, to kind of frame our discussion, I want to talk about the structure of this film. The movie is kind of divided into, like, four kind of plot threads. There's a chase scene in space. There is Finn and Rose going out to do shenanigans. And then there's Luke, Rey, and Kylo. And then there's just Rey and Kylo. Those are kind of our four plot threads. So we're going to focus on each one of these threads and drill down on them. And we're going to talk about everything along with them. Or as much as we can anyway.
So we're going to focus like on one thread at a time instead of going through like the whole movie itself like in order. Yeah. So it's just like basically we're just putting all the scenes together.
Exactly. And we'll start with our resistance chase. It opens up with the First Order finding the resistance base. And how do they find the resistance base, Casey?
With the Force.
With the Force. They use the Force. That's basically the only answer we have. Wouldn't it have been nice to have world building where, like, maybe there's a spy, or maybe there's, like, probe droids, like an Empire Strikes Back?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's how they find...
We don't have time for that, David.
There's no time for that.
The Force. Moving on.
She's right. There actually isn't time for this. Time for it in this movie. This movie is 2.5 hours long, and it is bloated beyond belief. Like, everything happens. So it opens up, and Poe is...
Making
yo mama jokes at Hux. Rian Johnson has turned General Hux into a moron.
An idiot.
Into an idiot. He's super dumb. And it doesn't make sense, like, why don't they just shoot down Poe? We're going to see this a lot. The First Order is constantly holding back from just murdering and slaughtering all the resistance. It's so frustrating.
Maybe they have a heart after all.
Maybe they have a heart after all.
They're like, okay, you only have a few left. We'll take our time.
They're trying to play fair.
Yeah. Let's get real. So we have Poe, like, straight up close to them, and they don't shoot him down for some reason. My thought was just that, because he said, like, he was too close to be shot down.
Yeah, but then they also don't scramble fighters to go shoot down Poe either.
They were on lunch, David.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Stormtroopers gotta eat.
It was a union mandated lunch.
Yes.
Oh, it's an OSHA. Yes.
Somebody's birthday.
TK-427's birthday.
Yes.
TK-427's birthday.
They
was
can't
going
miss that. They gotta live a life too.
There was cake.
Oh my gosh.
Stormtrooper cake. So yeah, the First Order could have just murdered Poe, but for some reason they don't. And they also have a gigantic gun. A dreadnought does. It's a gigantic ship that kind of shows up. And they could shoot down Leia's ship and all that, where all the resistance members are evacuating into.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they choose not to shoot it down.
Because it has, like, some force field or something around it.
No, that's not really it. It's just...
Well, I had no idea why when I was watching the movie. And then towards the end of the film, you see that there's, like, a shield around. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
No, the big gun. The bigger gun.
What do you mean?
So this is a bigger gun that, like, the Dreadnought has that's, like, bigger than the other guns.
Yeah.
So why don't they use that one?
It can break through the force field?
I imagine that's the issue. That's why they're so scared of it.
But maybe it's a force field.
Oh, you're so funny.
I know.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
So I'm sure that they can get through it for some reason. For some reason, David. Moving on.
Basically. And then once Poe shoots down some guns, there's some bombers, and the bombers are made of paper.
Yes.
They're slow. Mm-hmm. They are not very durable either. They are just cardboard. I'm pretty sure I could...
Moving so slow to the point that they don't shoot them down for a bit, and then eventually they do, and they just all crumble.
It's kind of nuts. Star Wars is supposed to be really futuristic, and I'm pretty sure our technology... could match something better than those bombers.
Maybe. But then you get to the point where one bomber somehow gets over the dreadnought.
Dumb luck. It's Rose's sister. Let's skip ahead. It's Rose's sister. We'll get there. But one of them, it's Rose's sister that gives her life to destroy this bomber.
Yeah.
To destroy the dreadnought, excuse me.
Yeah. And the bombs drop in space where gravity doesn't exist for some reason.
Yay. They use the Force, Casey.
Yes.
She used the Force.
Stop reading my mind.
I'm using the Force.
We all do, one way or another.
So, the Resistance escapes, and Poe is demoted because he was effective at his job?
Because all those bombers died under his orders. Like you told me before, in hindsight, he did what was right.
Well, Poe made the right call in hindsight.
Right.
The salient issue here is that, obviously, the First Order is tracking them through hyperspace somehow. And if the Dreadnought had remained and followed them through hyperspace, they would have used their big gigantic gun, probably penetrated their shields, and just destroyed the Resistance fleet right there.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, all those bombers died, but at the time, saved 400 people.
In hindsight, it did save 400 people.
Yeah.
Like, they gave their lives, and they actually did save the Resistance. If not for them, they would have been entirely wiped out at the beginning of the movie. But Poe's wrong for some reason, and Leia slaps him. This movie treats Poe like a jerk or something, And he really isn't.
I mean, I feel like they kind of treat him like a kid a little bit.
They treat Poe like he's a teenager who stole Dad's keys and drove the convertible or something.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, he's kind of right here. Listen, this is a bit of a nitpick that I'm about to share. Here's the thing. There are 400 Resistance members left. Why are we even talking about demoting anybody? What's the point, even? So, from there, the First Order follows them. Oh my god!
They're tracking them, David?
That's what's so nuts, is that, like, they guess correctly that they're tracking them through hyperspace, through some new technology.
That was somehow impossible before.
They guessed that correctly, like, which is kind of nuts. Like, shouldn't they just be thinking that, like, oh, we have a mole on board or something? That's the technology they do know.
That would be the greater story.
That'd be the better story.
Yeah.
But no, that's not what we get. They just guess correctly that the First Order has this new technology. And they follow them, and at this point, a chase scene ensues. The Resistance does not have enough fuel to jump into hyperspace too many times. Otherwise, they're just going to remain and get shot down. Or whatever. And so now this is really slow space chase scene ensues. The First Order, for some reason, can't catch up to them. And at first, they send in fighters to go destroy them. And in fact, Kylo Ren is in his own fighter. And he goes into one of the hangars and blows up a whole bunch of the other Resistance ships, including Poe's X-Wing, even though Poe's not in the X-Wing yet. He's on his way to it when it gets blown up.
And then he has the chance to shoot down his mom.
He has the chance to shoot down his mom.
And he's about to, and then he changes his mind. And then somebody else...
One of his wingmen.
Yeah.
Shoot down the bridge, too.
Yeah. And then out goes flying everybody in there, including Leia.
Including Leia.
David, how did she survive?
I'm just going to ignore your question, because here's the thing. Like, let me just get something super clear right now. I have bad news, everybody. If any one of us as human beings is exposed to the vacuum of space, we will die. There is no ambiguity about this. We just die. Like, our blood vessels explode. Like, everything just goes real bad in space when we're exposed to it.
But David, when you have the Force, anything's possible.
Apparently, because even though Leia is floating in space and is clearly frozen over or whatever, she's been exposed to it. There's, like, frost on her skin or whatever.
Kind of reminds me of, like, that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy.
A bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except Leia was just a human.
Mm-hmm. And they were aliens.
And they were aliens. This all makes sense. Leia somehow wakes up.
She uses the Force to go back to the spaceship.
Peter Pan-like.
Yes. They open the hangar. She gets in there. She passes out.
And now she's just knocked out for the rest of the film.
For the most part.
Now, the person left in command is Laura Dern.
The purple-haired lady.
The purple-haired lady. Yay!
With the prom dress.
She's...
Likes to keep things to herself.
She likes to play her cards very, very close to her chest. Let's be clear about something. Laura Dern does eventually, we find out, have a super secret plan about how to save the Resistance from the First Order here. And for some reason, she just decides to keep it from Poe.
For whatever reason, she doesn't like
Poe. Well, it's... Poe. I don't know.
He was demoted, which I found it kind of funny in the film. Like, I know there were people around him, but, like, Leia was just like, you're demoted.
Yeah,
and I don't know if she just told everyone or...
But she didn't have time to send that memo out to everybody. Yeah.
I was like, how did she know? That was my first thought when I first watched the film.
How did she know, and why should she care?
Yeah. I mean, Poe, essentially, he wants to save the Resistance, but he also wants to end the First Order as well.
Laura Dern, Vice Admiral Laura Dern, we're all on the same side here.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't want to get anyone hurt. He just wants to know, what's the plan? What can we do? How can I help?
And then she calls Poe a trigger-happy flyboy, mm-hmm. which is unproductive. Poe concocts some plans to save the Resistance himself, and they're not good plans, but...
There's something.
Well, that's all he's got.
Because he feels like she's just not going to do anything.
Well, because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, as the movie kind of goes on...
like, we're not doing anything to save it, we're just going to keep going.
As the chase scene goes on, it looks like she actually is the villain. Like, maybe she's the mole or something. Which, that would have been an interesting twist.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit an obvious one, but, like, so be it. Obvious doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
Yeah.
It just means that, like, we see it coming. That doesn't mean it's poorly constructed or something. And then, finally, Poe just can't handle it. I guess recruits a few people, and then he performs a mutiny. He...
holds a gun to them.
Takes a gun to her and...
like her crew,
her entourage, basically.
Yeah. And then goes into the main...
into the bridge, yeah. And takes command. Now, here's what's nuts. Poe has a gun to her, and this is a plan that, like, she has. Why does she just tell him?
Yeah, it's just like, okay, at this point, I'll just tell you so you stop.
Like, listen, here's what she should have done. Been like, even if she's gonna wait that long to, like, tell him the plan, just be like, listen, Poe, put the gun down. Here's the plan. It's a super secret plan. What do you think? And the thing is, that would have worked. Because a few minutes later, we do find out that Poe is given the plan by Leia. By the way, Leia wakes up, but not before she stuns Poe, who's on the bridge or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she explains the plan to Poe, and he loves it. He's like, yeah, that could work.
It was a good plan. It just, it makes no sense as to why she didn't tell him. Or even tell the whole crew.
Yeah, because at one point, they're fueling up these evacuation shuttles, and which is part of the plan. And, like, if she was concerned about a mole, like, sorry, cat's out of the bag at that point. If there's a mole transmitting information to the First Order, at that point, the cat's out of the bag, they're gonna find out about it, and they can shoot them all down. Mm-hmm. So, why is she keeping this a secret plan? From Poe, anyway. I'm still not convinced that the plan would have worked that well anyway, because, again, a decloaking scan revealed all these shuttles. But then why wouldn't the First Order be running this kind of scan constantly?
Maybe it takes energy. Maybe they just don't think about it.
Oh.
Who knows?
Somebody was on break. Okay, so that's how nonsensical that plot line is. Let's move on to Finn and Rose. Holy crap. Holy crap, what a waste of time.
Can we cut it out?
I mean, that would be my preference.
I'm not about it.
I don't think anybody's about it. They waste 20 minutes of your time on this ridiculous plot thread. I know some of you listening to this podcast right now enjoyed watching The Last Jedi. Maybe you think it's a great movie. Listen, you have been tricked. You have been duped. You have been deceived. You've been confused. Lasers came at your face.
Space horses!
Space horses were being ridden.
Money!
Money!
Casino! Slot machines!
Gratuitous CGI was flying everywhere. And you were like, yeah! It triggered the primitive part of your brain. And you've been tricked. I've been there. They did that with me during Force Awakens. I loved Force Awakens. I was tricked. They got me. Don't let them get you too.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. We're trying to help you. Anyway, this is the most nonsensical plot thread throughout the whole movie. Finn and Rose decide they want to go on the Supremacy, using blueprints that I have no idea where they got, mm-hmm. to go disable the hyperspace tracker mm-hmm. that Finn conveniently also worked on.
He was in sanitation, David. They probably had him, like, everywhere.
They had him everywhere, even though they probably have space Roombas that are better than our space Roombas.
Probably.
But there's no time for that, or logical, coherent thinking. And they just fly off into a casino planet mm-hmm. and they park their shuttle on the beach like morons
instead of going to a spaceship parking lot that I'm sure they have.
I'm sure there's something
they, like, just didn't want to pay for valet, David. I get it. They'd God, rather walk 10 miles
park 10
than
miles
pay $20 for valet. You're I've right, been I'm with sorry. People that are like that. I will pay the $20.
Oh God. So they land on this casino planet, and the CGI is gratuitous. There are all these monsters and aliens, and they're playing casinos and roulettes and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Slot machines, etc.
They were sent there by Maz to find a quote-unquote code breaker who's going to help them break onto the ship.
That's Snoke's ship, right? That's the one.
That's Snoke's ship, yes. Yeah. So they get there. They linger for a while. It's really nuts, even though they know they're on the clock. Like, yeah. They know their friends are about to be murdered and slaughtered, but they're like, eh, it's so pretty, though.
They got time.
Apparently they feel they got time. Oh, God, these characters make no sense.
Have you ever been to a casino before, David? You have all the time in the world.
So
they're sent to find a specific person that has, like, a Red Lotus pin. Yeah. He's the only person, supposedly, that can help them sneak on and find where they're tracking them on Snoke's ship. So eventually they make their way through. They see him and then they get tased because of illegal parking.
Oh man, like the cops find them and they get arrested.
Yes.
For parking illegally.
Way to go.
Good job.
Then they're in jail.
Talk about how hopeless things look.
Yeah. And then some dude who's also in jail is just like, I can help you out.
Benicio del Toro. He literally talks like a snake.
I know, it's kind of weird. If he talks like a snake, it's a mistake. So
this guy, the shady snake man, breaks them out.
Yeah. And he says that he can help them. So they break out, they go on.
They're like, cool.
Yeah, they ride their space horses.
After leaving some child slaves behind.
It's just like, free the space horses or free the child slaves? They chose the horses.
They chose the horses, even though the children slaves are probably going to be whipped and abused because of their failure to keep the horses. Well, that's what I mean.
That's so sad.
Yes! This film is outrageous.
I didn't even think about that.
Listen, they trash this planet because they have something against these rich people. Because apparently they're war profiteers. They sell weapons to both sides of the conflict, the Resistance and the First Order.
Which they don't entirely know for sure. They just say that, oh, there's only one business that can get you this rich, and that's war. So it's possible there's a good bit of those people who are rich off of that, but they don't actually know for sure.
But they don't know that all of them are doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that, like, even if many of them do that, they're just opportunists. They're not, like, strictly slaughtering people, as it were.
They're just spending their money.
They're spending their money. They're having a good time.
Yeah.
And again, you know who's going to clean up this whole mess, Casey?
The child slaves?
It's the child slaves! Like, it's not going to be these rich people.
Oh, no!
You see what I mean? This movie, every single time, like, something happens, like, they don't think through what this actually is going to do. They don't expect you to think much deeper than just, like, woo, look at the space horses. Isn't that cool?
Well, moving on. They're on their way back to the Resistance with this guy they met in jail that told him that they could help him. The story could have gone, they could have broke out of jail and still found the guy.
They could have tried. They didn't even try.
Or whenever they tased them, they could have been like, wait, Maz sent us. And then the Red Lotus would be like, they're with me.
Yeah, the guy looks like a high roller.
He's wearing a white suit. Like, come on.
Yeah, he looks rich.
So, but they don't even do that. They don't even try. They just see him and it's like, psych. They find the guy from jail and they're like, we can for sure trust this guy.
who we met in jail.
Who speaks parcel tongue. Like, come on. So they go on. And they find out that he's, he stole a ship that they escaped on.
Yeah.
And that he's just, like, some shady guy, but he says he can do the job.
For a price.
Yeah, of course. And they make their way there.
They break onto the ship through some magic thing he has or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they get into some disguises that leave their faces exposed. Which is kind of nuts because, like...
Yeah, because nobody will remember Finn.
Nobody's gonna remember Finn. And, like, nobody's gonna go, like, hey, who are those three people walking suspiciously together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been lots of jokes that have been spread throughout this movie, and they have not been landing for me, basically at all, in this whole thing. But there's one that actually really does. It's when the snake guy, the shady guy from jail, is like trying to do his thing and break into this one room.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn and Rose kind of talk, and Rose brings up like, oh, we should start thinking about an escape plan. Finn is like, oh, don't worry, I know where the nearest escape pods are. And Rose is like, of course you do. Which is a fun callback to when they first met, because Finn was being a coward again, for some reason.
Yeah.
And trying to escape on an escape pod.
That joke landed for you?
That's the one joke that landed for me in this whole thing.
You already know I thought several jokes were funny.
I know. We'll get there when we get there.
So they break in.
They break in.
Do they even do it?
I don't remember. They break in.
And they get caught. Yeah.
The end.
Well, they're basically about to get killed, and then they were betrayed by...
Benicio del Toro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He told the First Order what the plan was for the Resistance, that they were escaping on those pods. So then they checked it out, and he was right. They gave him money, he's leaving.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no. And then they're about to kill Finn and Rose.
Casey, wait a second. Are you telling me that the really shady guy who Finn and Rose met in jail...
That speaks parcel tongue?
Was a person not to be trusted.
You could have never guessed that.
I would never have even leapt to the conclusion that he could be somehow untrustworthy. What?
They should have stuck with the Red Lotus guy.
Basically.
Oh, well, too late.
It's too late.
So they're basically about to kill them. And then who comes in, David? Who saves the day?
So, instead of evacuating, Laura Dern, who's still on the big cruiser, decides to go into hyperspace and ram the Supremacy, Snoke's big ship.
So she sacrifices herself.
And does a huge amount of damage to the First Order fleet. Even though it's kind of nonsense, like, this kind of breaks space battles kind of going forward. Because for the rest of the franchise, every single Star Wars movie, we're going to be asking ourselves, hey, why don't they just go to hyperspace and ram them?
Because then somebody would have to sacrifice themselves. And not everybody's willing to do that.
But many people would be.
Maybe.
And here's the thing. Why don't we just get a droid to do it?
Oh, like BB-8?
Not necessarily BB-8. Somebody with a droid we don't like.
Okay.
Or an autopilot. That's a thing, too.
Yeah.
So anyway.
At the perfect moment. When they're literally about to be killed.
This happens.
Yeah.
Conveniently. And everything's on fire. Everything's blowing up. Finn and Rose, miraculously, are uninjured by this whole thing. Just knocked down.
Of course.
Phasma's still there.
Yeah.
Gwendolyn Christie. And she has a fight with Finn. And Finn is ridiculously skilled for being a janitor at fighting.
It's just, it doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't.
You can't beat Brienne of Tarth?
No, she shouldn't be able to beat Brienne of Tarth. Brienne of Tarth should be wrecking his day.
Yeah.
Hard. Somehow.
Some way. He wins.
And
she dies.
She dies.
And he makes some really weird chrome dome line.
Just before,
or she will not necessarily die. She just falls down.
She's probably dead. But yeah. But here's the thing. Just before she does fall down, she calls him scum, and then he's like, rebel scum. So, like, wait a minute. Are they the Resistance or the Rebels? Can we call them the Rebels now? Because Holdo calls them the Rebels, too. Laura Dern calls them Rebels. Because he's like, Godspeed, Rebels, to the shuttles as she's, like, waving goodbye, effectively.
I mean, they want options.
It's a branding thing.
Yeah.
So they can go back to the old branding if they need to.
Well.
It's nuts.
Then they're fighting other people.
They're fighting a few other people, and BB-8 shows up in a walker.
Mm-hmm.
And now you may be wondering how he took control of this tank.
The force.
Yes. BB-8 used the force to take control of it and not get caught.
And miraculously saves them and they get out
just the right time.
Yes.
Now, that's that plot thread more or less complete.
Moving on.
Now, let's talk about Luke, Rey, and Kylo. Now, I'm not gonna lie, if there's any actual character drama in this whole film, here it is.
Yeah.
Like, some of this is actually pretty good. But then much of it is kind of disastrous.
At the end of Force Awakens, we have the scene where Rey finds Luke, and he's giving her, like, a somber look or whatever, and she's handing him the lightsaber in a scene.
It's a very quiet moment. It's really good.
And then in Last Jedi, once we get back to that scene right where they left off, he takes the lightsaber and then throws it behind him.
Hey, so funny.
Hilarious.
Oh my god.
So Luke Skywalker so would do that.
Yes, Luke would totally just do that to a family heirloom.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's reiterate again, this is Anakin's lightsaber.
His father.
This is his father's lightsaber. So yeah, dumping the lightsaber the way he did is a freaking awful, awful joke. So Luke is a grump. Rey is like, we need you. And he's like, go away.
He's just not willing to help. She's come to train with him, essentially.
And then
but Luke, also to bring him back.
Yeah, and Luke asks her, hey, what's up with Han Solo? And then the scene cuts at that moment. Like, we don't get to see Rey deliver the bad news that Han has passed on and how Luke would react to it. It's insane.
It's really sad because Rose, earlier in the film when we were introduced to her, we see her mourning her sister's death after she died with the bombers. And Luke and Han were best friends. Like, he's his sister's boyfriend, ex-husband, whatever they were.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah, his brother-in-law.
They fought together, they bled together,
like how I said in the last episode where we didn't get to see Chewie and Leia mourn Han together. Like, he just walked past her. And then, like, with this one, we don't get to see him mourn Han. Like, it's...
This film's priorities are so completely warped. It's insane.
It's really sad.
We watch these strangers mourn. We don't get to see Luke, our hero, mourn his friend and connect with him on that. It's ridiculous. After some prodding and poking and some weird green milk, Luke finally agrees to train Rey.
He basically tells her at some point that, like, the Jedi should die. And
He doesn't really elaborate too much on that.
Yeah, but he's basically like, the Jedi should end.
The Jedi should end, and the Jedi are not that special.
Even though, like, they are.
Even though they are. Because, like, here's the big problem. There's one faction of people that can oppose the Sith, and it's the Jedi.
Yeah.
So, like...
They're needed.
They're kind of needed.
And they're scarce, so it's like, you have this one girl who has the Force, who's willing to learn, who came to you, they've been looking for you, they need your help. Like, come on.
Like, come on, get to it.
And what's really sad is, like, we watched a whole bunch of interviews of Mark Hamill, his opinion on this film and his, well, more so his own character was just like, Luke Skywalker would not do that. Luke Skywalker was a hopeful and optimistic character, and the fact that he's just like, the Jedi Order should end, like, he's given up, he's just wants to stay on that island and die, he's just like, that is not who Luke Skywalker is or should ever be.
When I first kind of thought about how, like, flawed this movie is as far as Luke goes, like, after watching those interviews, I'm just sad.
I felt really sad for him because he's like, I mean, I understand this movie, like, these sequel trilogies, it's not meant to be about Luke Skywalker. Like, right. Yes, like, absolutely. We love to have that's him in true. There.
But if you're going to have them in there, go ahead and use the character as he is. Don't warp him into something, or at least not let us watch how he changes, because it doesn't work. It's really uncomfortable.
It's really sad because Mark Hamill, he was just like, if you love how Luke turned out, you can thank Ryan. But if you hate how he turned out, you can also thank Ryan.
Yep.
He was just really disappointed with how he turned out, but he still delivered as he would because he's a professional.
He's a professional. He's an actor, and he does his job. So he all but said he kind of hated the way Luke was portrayed, even though he more or less did say that.
Yeah, but he was just like, I'm gonna get in trouble.
Yeah.
Disney's gonna chop off my head and hand it to me.
In the midst of this, there's one good scene. This is actually just after the Porg scene with Chewie, where Luke goes onto the Millennium Falcon. He talks to R2-D2. R2-D2 plays him the hologram from the very first Star Wars movie, where a young Leia says, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that playing that hologram pushes Luke to...
Train Rey.
And it was nice. That's actually, like, in a better movie, that would have been like, oh, yes. Yes, that would have touched me into the hollow where my soul used to be. So, there's also a moment where Rey is hiding under the Millennium Falcon, and there's rain on this island. And, of course, Rey grew up on this desert planet, and she's kind of standing there, and she's like, oh man, the rain, yeah! And that's actually really nice. That was a good character moment.
She saw green, she saw some rain.
She's so diverse now. She's so experienced.
Such a traveler,
yeah. This isn't the first time this happens, but this is the second time it happens, where Rey is having Force Skype visions with Kylo Ren.
She's so lucky.
She and they have some conversations. She's very upset at Kylo.
For killing Han.
Killing Han.
Like, how could you do that? He was so good.
You're a monster. And he's like, yes, I am a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Basically, over the course of time, like, they start to get to talking to one another and seem like they're becoming friends, in a sense.
They become pretty close. It's very intimate.
Yeah.
There's a scene where Rey goes into a dark side cave looking to find answers about her parents. She doesn't find any, or at least what she finds is very confusing because it's just an image of herself.
Yeah.
And she leaves and she's just in tears because of how upset and disappointed she is that she didn't find any answers. And she says, oh, I'm so alone. And then Kylo pops up in the Force Skype vision and is like, no, you're not alone. She's like, neither are you. And then tells him that, hey, it's not too late. And like, this scene is weirdly intimate. They go to kind of touch hands in this Force Skype vision, and I feel like we're almost skipping an entire movie of development because they're acting almost as if they're a couple or something.
Yeah.
Which, listen, that's an interesting idea, but like,
I ship it for sure.
Like, I'm willing to ship it. Just like, give us some time with this. Play this out. Like, you can't do this out of nowhere. Like, and there hasn't been enough time to really develop this idea. Like, has she had enough time to kind of, you know, forgive him? And like, is he regretful? Like, how does she feel about Han's death and all that?
It seems like she forgot.
She forgot.
She made herself forget so she could, you know, move on.
Oh, so she could get that on Driver.
Yes.
I don't blame her.
I don't either. He's the vibe.
Good for her. Get it. So Luke sees this happen and is upset, and Rey demands to know whether or not Luke actually tried to kill Ben Solo, Kylo Ren, back when he was still an apprentice to him or whatever.
Which essentially, like, started his
path down to the dark side or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, Oh, yes, kinda. I sensed darkness in him, and for a fleeting moment, I ignited my lightsaber, or whatever. And then Ben saw it, and then...
He defended himself.
He defended himself, and took off.
Well, basically, like, he took some other Jedi with him, because, like, he was training with Luke Skywalker.
Even though we never see them at any point in this franchise, but whatever.
Yeah. So, he's training with them, and that happens, so he takes some Knights of Ren with him. And then basically whoever else didn't want to go, he burned them down. And burned,
pretty much.
Yeah, burned the school down. We get to see this scene that Luke describes and Ben slash Kylo describes. So with Kylo's scene of his memory of what happened that night, you see Luke Skywalker with like a really scary face and his lightsaber lit up.
He looks manic and insane.
Yeah, and he sees him and grabs his lightsaber.
Defend himself.
Yeah, defended himself. And then when Luke described it, it shows his scene, and basically he's holding the lightsaber, but it's not lit, and he's conflicted.
Right.
But then he starts to put it down, and as he's putting it down, that's when Kylo essentially wakes up, and he sees him, and he defends himself.
Yeah.
Because he feels like he's about to do what he was thinking.
Right, exactly. So with that, Rey yells at Luke and says, like, how dare you? Like, why did you do that or whatever?
How could you do that? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And also, when she came into the planet, she was just like, there's no hope or light left in Kylo Ren.
Yeah, which was effectively like 2 days ago for her.
Yeah. And it's just like, how do you know for sure, though?
Yeah.
I understand he's done some wrong things, but like, in the original Star Wars movies, Luke was just like, oh, there's still good left in Darth Vader. So it's like, yes, Kylo made some mistakes, but compared to Anakin...
It's nothing.
It's not the same.
So Rey leaves Luke.
Deuces.
And she's like, I'm gonna go find me some... I'm gonna get me some Ben Solo.
She basically thinks that she can somehow turn him to the light side. Based on their Force Skype. And, like, I get that. I get, like, sensing something, getting to know him. But, like, I thought it was just dumb of her to think that her going to Ben Solo was just gonna, like, change his mind.
And she does her hair. She gets dressed. Like, like, she's like,
new fit.
New fit.
New hair. She's ready.
It's really funny.
And she shows up, and, of course, like, it's not what she thinks.
He's like handcuffs, and she's like, ooh, it's like that.
No.
So in an almost shot-for-shot redo of Return of the Jedi, Kylo takes Rey into the throne room, and Snoke undoes Rey's shackles for some reason. We find out that he just wants to torture her and then have Kylo Ren kill her, but then he uncuffs her anyway, because reasons.
But then he's like holding her in the air with the Force.
Yeah.
And then...
He's comically powerful with the Force.
Yeah. And then we see Kylo move a lightsaber to slice him in half. And then it's just like, is he on the light side now?
Oh my god.
Psych! He's not.
No, first you don't forget fight scene. The terrible, awful, no good, you're very bad fight scene.
So it's like, is he on the light side right now?
Oh my god.
So then him and Rey start fighting...
These bodyguards in what is a terribly choreographed fight scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's real bad. So all the bodyguards are dead, and Kylo Ren decides that he's going to make a proposal to Rey, and kind of makes sure she understands, like, listen, you know how your parents... You already know who your parents were, and then she's like, they were nobodies, and she starts tearing up, and he's like, yes, they were filthy junk traders who sold you off for drinking money. But then he's like, you're nothing, but not to me.
Aww.
This is Adam Driver's best work in this whole trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, hey, screw the Sith, screw the Jedi, screw the First Order, screw the Resistance, and is like, come join me. Holds out his hand. His eyes are watering, and he's so earnest here. And is just like, he says, even says, please. And it's like, wow.
I would have taken his hand.
Like, this is really interesting. This would have been kind of cool to watch if this actually happened. And then Rey is just like, nah, brah, and like tries to steal the lightsaber so they can try to kill each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Force explosion, and like, this is about the time where like Holdo, Laura Dern, rammed the ship into the Supremacy, and like, this is where all these plot threads kind of meet, is at the hyperspace ram. Then Rey, I guess, wakes up first and then gets on Snoke's escape ship and decides to leave.
So basically, like, the very few that are left, they're on this planet Crait, which is a previous Rebel base
or whatever.
Yeah. And they go on, and the First Order follows them there. And basically, they get inside the base. They close the doors, which actually one ship
Just one
from the First Order gets in there. And who is it, David?
Oh, lucky them. It's Finn and Rose.
How?
And BB-8.
How convenient.
How convenient. And they look great. They've survived 3 or 4 crashes by now.
And of course, they're the first ones to get there compared
to
everyone else.
Yeah.
But thankfully for them, it was them.
Lucky for them.
So they close the door, and then the First Order gets down there, and they have like a battering ram for the door that's holding it.
Oh, and the Resistance starts signaling for help.
Ah, yes, to all their allies, and no one answers.
Ha!
How rude.
Yeah.
And basically they're like, we don't have much time before they get through this door. And then they were like, oh, there's no other escape through the actual door that we came in.
We gotta fight.
Yeah. So then they send some people out
on these janky
ships.
Yeah.
So they're in there, they're waiting for essentially a chance to somehow escape. And Rey shows up with Chewie on the Millennium Falcon. Woo woo!
And Rey is way too happy considering how much death and destruction is going on.
Yeah,
in this
movie. So all of the First Order starts moving their guns towards the Millennium Falcon. One of my favorite scenes, and I thought it was so funny, was when Kylo Ren is just like, shoot that piece of junk out of the sky. And I thought that was hilarious. And David told me too many times how much that was not funny and not meant to be funny. And I was like, come on.
Well, here's the real thing. Like, I agree. It's kind of hilarious. Kylo Ren sounds ridiculous. There's no way to sell that line correctly here. The salient issue here is that, like, I have no idea what the intent was for that line. Was it meant to be dramatic? I'm starting to think that maybe it was meant to be comedic.
I feel like it was meant to be funny. Because it's just, but like, that's his dad's ship. It always shows up and basically ruins things for everyone. So he's just like, come on, let's shoot this down already.
But then that's still a huge flaw because, like, that doesn't match the tone of this whole scene. This is a desperate last stand.
I don't care, David. It was funny. I'm glad it was there.
I don't care if it's totally confusing.
Yeah, so then she's shooting at them as well. And that gives them a chance to be distracted for them to bring out these janky little ships.
Who still get shot down by the walkers.
And Finn decides that he's going to...
Against orders, because Poe's like, no, we gotta turn back. Because I've decided I want to preserve life now.
And Finn decides he's gonna somehow sacrifice himself with this janky ship through the laser /battering ram that's gonna take him down. And then Rose comes out of nowhere.
Somehow
faster than him as well.
Yep.
And just crashes into him. And it's just really funny because it's just like, okay, you didn't want him to sacrifice himself, but that was a pretty hard blow. Like, that probably could have killed both of y'all. But somehow, magically, they did not die.
And their spines are intact.
Yes. And then Finn gets out, he goes to her, and then...
Go on. First, Finn asks her, why'd you do it? And she's like, we're not going to win by fighting what we hate, but by protecting what we love. And then she leans up. She has enough energy to lean up and smooch him on the mouth, on his lips. Finn is not about it.
I thought that kiss was so awkward.
It was super awkward.
I literally wrote in my notes, like, that kiss between Rose and Finn was so awkward, not about it.
And what's really hilarious is that, like, as she does that, the big laser blows up their armored door.
Right behind them. Love's gonna save us. Oops. No, it's not.
Nope. Oh my god. Love is the greatest non-weapon. So from there, that thing blows up. And it looks like the Resistance are like, well, guess we're all gonna die. Oh no.
And then, da-da-da-da.
Luke shows up. Has a okay scene with Leia. It's nice to see them talk.
It's nice to see them together, and then he leaves the little domino thing from...
It's a dice thing.
Yeah, the dice thing from the Millennium Falcon.
Sure.
And he goes out there, and then Kylo Ren is just like, all firepower towards him.
Yeah.
And then they shoot, and they shoot,
and
they shoot.
He looks unstable and insane.
Yeah, he
it's
is
not great.
So angry right now. Yeah. And they're like, okay, I think you got him. And then it's like, Luke's like, psych, I'm still here. So then Kylo goes down, and then they start having a battle.
And it's silly. Like, Luke is using a lightsaber that Kylo Ren already saw destroyed.
He could have made another one.
But it looks like the one that they already destroyed. In fact, it's a replica of the one that they destroyed. So in the projection...
He's too angry right now, David, to even think about that.
But, like, why are we making our villain a moron?
Anywho,
they have a fake lightsaber battle. Luke is...
He's dodging all of his tricks.
Luke is dodging, but, like, he's also saying, like, you suck, Ben. Bro, you have all the
darkness. This could have been a moment where Luke could have been just like, you know, like, let me help you. I mean, honestly, even if he had, I definitely don't believe Kylo would have gone to the light side right there.
But, like, that would have been appropriate for Luke to do that.
That's his nephew. Like, we were speaking about earlier, like, how he said in, like, back in the original movies, how there was still good left in Anakin, a.k.a. Darth Vader. Still good left in him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is his nephew. Like, yeah, he screwed up, but come on. You have to know that there's still light left in him somehow. Like, you both made mistakes. And it's like, this is your moment to apologize for what happened. That defining moment that turned him, or at least put him on the path to the dark side.
Right.
And he just was like, nope, I'm going to fight you. I'm going to make these smirks. I'm going to piss you off. And
it's not a great look for either of them.
No, it's not. And then goes to like slice Luke.
He finds out that he's a projection. Luke used the Force to use astral projection or something like that to make a ghost form of himself.
So, like, he was still back on the island.
It's really weird.
And basically he wasted all of that time.
Yeah.
And Luke is just like, deuces. Then he dies.
He just dies.
Why?
Because I don't know.
What I took from that, what I guess what they were trying to say is just like, his work here is done, so there's no
but
point.
But no, it's not. It's
really... I mean, technically really is it not, but it, like, he gave them enough time to get out, which during that time, we have Rey finding a way through the back to get everyone out.
Which is nuts, because...
Lifting rocks with the Force.
She's lifting rocks with the Force that looks so heavy, and, like, in the space of, like, 3 to 4 days, without any training, because Luke didn't really train her.
No.
Like, she's at least as powerful as Kylo Ren. This took her, like, maybe 3 to 4 days. Like, seriously, give her a week and she'll be more powerful than Luke at this rate. Holy crap. She's way too strong.
In the interviews with Mark Hamill, he talks about how Luke had to go through all his training. And we know that Luke went through, like, his trials and triumphs to become who he is back in the originals. And then Rey is essentially, like, she has all these attributes and all the great things about Luke Skywalker for free. She didn't do anything to get it. She was just automatically that way. And then somehow knows how to use the Force with no training whatsoever. So with that, we have everyone leaving, being pretty happy.
Apparently, there are so few Resistance members left that they all fit on the Millennium Falcon.
That's all they need.
Apparently.
But, like, I understand that they escaped and, like, that's a good thing. But also, there's just, like, they've lost so many people in the last few hours.
There are like 12 of them.
From 400 that we started with, at least at the beginning of this film.
All their friends and heroes are dead except for Leia.
Yeah.
Like, they're all dead. Like, this should be a funeral dirge.
I feel like there's several movies in one.
This is at least...
It should have just ended right when you have, like, the end where...
The throne room.
Yes, the throne room with Kylo and Rey. It would have been just pretty cool where he'd be like, join me. And then she, like, is contemplating it. And then end.
I would do more than that. Just, like, have her take his hand, and then we see them look at each other as they're holding hands, and then scene, roll credits.
Yeah, because now you have, like, a pretty nice cliffhanger, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Is Rey joining the dark side?
What's going on? We know they're joining forces.
Yeah. But no.
No.
That's, like, not where it ended.
It's so weird. The logic of the characters makes no sense.
Daisy Ridley said herself, unexpected, but right.
Ew, God.
Yeah, I'm just like, where?
So a lot of people have praised this movie because it, quote unquote, subverts our expectations.
It's definitely unexpected. I just found it weird that they gave someone who didn't work on the Star Wars films ever before complete creative control. I understand, like, giving them something to do and then having it gone over with other people, but it's just like...
Yeah. So...
What would we change
let's go plot thread by plot thread. So we're going to start again. We're going to go back to our resistance chase.
We're cutting it out next.
Largely, yes. We're just going to have the resistance. Like, there can be a tracker on board. We're not going to give the First Order just new technology. Just let there be just a mole on board.
I really would love if, like, obviously we're introduced to Rose in this film. Yeah. What if she was the mole? Like, she befriends Finn, etc. And, like, she's the one that's essentially betraying them.
And then when they find out that Rose is the mole, give her some backstory as to why she was the mole.
Maybe, right.
Yeah, something to kind of, like, give her motivation and stuff like that. So, and instead of just, like, them just kind of running away, have them just kind of hide in, like, a big asteroid field, or have them hide in some kind of big nebula. Mm-hmm. Somewhere where they can, like, kind of hide the big ship, and they can spend a few weeks there.
Which sort of kind of goes with what happens in
kinda,
Empire Strikes Back.
A bit, yes.
But basically, we just kind of, for the most part, we don't really want the chase.
No, we're not going to dwell that much time.
There's so many stories going on in this movie. It's just like, it's not needed.
It's a huge waste of time.
Yeah. And then as far as Finn and Rose, that plot point, again, we don't want it.
It's a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, it's not needed. We can move on. We really just want to touch on Luke and Kylo Ren and Rey. I feel like that the story could go really well with all of them.
Well, this is the closest thing this whole trilogy gets to, like, serious, interesting character drama. Like, Kylo is a bad guy, but he's also the nephew of the good guy, who is apprenticed to the good guy. But he also has a legacy of, like, that conflicting morality with Anakin as his grandfather or whatever. And then Rey could be interesting. It's just that she's so blah sometimes. Like, she's such a blank slate that I have no idea what she wants. Like, she's so good for no reason.
Basically, like, I mean, we obviously wouldn't want Luke to be the way that he is, but just for not changing things much, it's just like, okay, he is the way that he is.
Yeah. The main idea for Luke, Rey, and Kylo is that we're just gonna go ahead and make sure that Rey does start getting training from Luke. And
oh yeah, that scene where she shows up to see Luke, and we actually get to see him more in Han. It doesn't have to be long, yes, but we get to see it. Like,
that we get to see him react to it. Just right. Something. Anything.
And then that line where Rey says there's no light left in Kylo Ren, Luke could just be like, there's no one the light can't reach.
Yeah, something that Luke would say.
Yeah.
And that expresses hope in Kylo / Ben Solo. And we're going to go ahead and keep the Skype calls.
The Force
Skype between Rey and Kylo Ren.
It's interesting. I really like it.
It's super interesting. The main change that we want to do, though, is that let this kind of keep on happening over weeks. Like, the Resistance is hiding in, like, that asteroid or nebula, like, for weeks. And then this allows Rey to have, like, several weeks of training, at least. And several nightly calls, effectively, with Kylo Ren, where they're effectively just kind of stuck with each other, and they eventually start talking.
And we would really like to see, like, flashbacks of Kylo Ren and how he became to go to the dark side.
How he went from Ben Solo to being Kylo Ren.
Right. We imagine that Han Solo and Leia were just not at home. Like, realistically,
they'd be,
like,
busy.
Yeah, they're busy, they're working, like, they're not at home.
Doing important things, yes.
Right, so it's not that they're bad parents, it's just they're not at home to be good parents at all.
Right.
So then they have someone else raising him, and basically he's being told all these stories about how great his parents are, and like, wow, you're so lucky, but he doesn't really get to know his parents because they're never there.
And he doesn't feel loved.
Yeah, he feels abandoned.
Right.
And then they just send him off. Or we get to see him do, like, I guess, bad things or naughty things. And it's just like, oh, no.
He's a broody kid.
Yeah. So when parents are there and they're like, oh, no, he's doing, like, it seems like he's going to the dark side or something. Or he's just doing, like, things that he shouldn't be doing.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's just like, we need to send him off to Luke.
Right.
So then you send him off to Luke.
And maybe have him getting, like, visions or, like, having top conversations through the Force with some creature, some person we don't see, but it's Snoke's voice. And he's being very kind to him, being like, hey, your power shouldn't be repressed. You should do whatever you want. That's your power. That's part of you. Kind of really grooming him, you know, to get him on his side or whatever.
Right. But to be the best possible Force user that he can be.
Exactly.
Especially considering who his uncle and who his grandfather is.
Exactly.
And, like, another thing, too, which is something we don't find out until Rise of Skywalker, but we would have loved to have seen who Rey actually is. But we don't know this until Rise of Skywalker, the very last movie, is when we find out. But it would have been cool to, like, somehow think that maybe she's the granddaughter of a Jedi. They're like, oh, she's so powerful. She must have inherited this power from a family member. So then we're like, oh, maybe it's Obi-Wan. And she'd be like, wow, that'd be so cool. Blah, blah, blah. And then...
My granddaddy was a hero.
Yes. Which, we won't go into it, but in the next episode we will. But essentially, like, she's thinking that she's, like, the granddaughter of a Jedi, but psych, she's really not.
And maybe Luke can suggest that, like, oh, maybe your grandfather was a Jedi. Who knows? Yeah. And like we said, over time, Kylo and Rey just have all these conversations. And over time, what we want to do is, like, we show a lot of conflict in Kylo Ren. Maybe he thinks that his mother is actually super dead. And maybe, because she did get sucked out into space.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he thinks that she's dead, and, like, he already killed his dad. And maybe he, like, over, like, the course of a few weeks is just like, man, I really regret killing my dad. And, like, over the conversations, it's kind of really more obvious to Rey that, like, he's extremely conflicted. And it's just like, she could even, like, point it out and say, like, you don't look happy. And he's like, nah, this sucks, man. And that can be kind of, like, our beginning to, like, how... You know, they start to really connect, and, like, we can even have them kind of really connecting and make it... And listen, the movie takes a bit of a romantic angle because they're so intimate with the Force Skype. Let's double down. Like, have them really kind of, you know... They're not going to make out in this movie, but, like, have them kind of, like, almost get there. As in, like, let it be obvious that they're really kind of starting to feel things for each other or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and of course, we'll go ahead and have Rey be like, listen... He's about to turn.
Luke, I need to go to him.
I need to go to him and save him because he's in danger or whatever. And Luke can be like, no, your training isn't complete. I saw how you're, like, kind of from the dark side or whatever. You went to the Force Cave or whatever again, and you were really angry and stuff like that. And then she'll be like, nah, man, I'm ready. I'm good. I can do this. And then we can have something similar play out where she gets taken to the throne room and all the shenanigans ensue. That more or less happened, and they can more or less have a lot of what happens kind of happen. But then something happens in the throne room where Snoke is actually trying to entice Rey to turn to the dark side instead of just trying to outright kill her. While Ben, or Kylo Ren, starts kind of becoming more Ben Solo-ish and is just like, hey, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to do this anymore, and kill Snoke.
Mm-hmm.
Rey gets angry at him for killing Snoke. And it's just like, dude.
Or maybe he can be like, I know who your parents are. And then he kills them. And then she's like, and then that can make her very angry. Like, what have you just done? Like, I was this close.
They can have their fight.
Yeah.
But then we make it clear through the fight that, like, Rey feels more at home with the dark side right now.
Yeah, because it's going to give her the answers that she's been looking for this entire time.
Right. She hasn't been getting them from Luke. She's been getting them from the light side. She's been getting them from getting the dark side. That's the closest she's been getting.
Yeah.
So, like, really double down on the fact that, like, what she wants is in the dark side to her in her mind. And so she can even bust out with some lightning or whatever that she's so angry. And then Ben could even say, like, because at this point, he'd be fully turned to be like, you know what? I'm going to try to find my mom. I sense that she was alive. I'm going to go find her and whatever. I'm going to go back to the Resistance because I don't want to do this anymore. Let's go, Rey. We got to go. And then she could be like, nah, bruh. Nah. Like, I'm kind of digging this. And Ben could be like, huh? And then we can have a kind of a scene where Ben's like, listen, I know exactly what this is like. I know what you're feeling. I know you think you feel complete here. This is a lie. You're never going to get anything out of this. Trust me, I know.
And then she could just be like, you know, obviously the dark side can offer me what I want.
And then she could even play with him, be like, listen, no, come with me, Ben, you know.
Or stay, yeah.
Stay with me. Don't throw away what we have. Something like that. And then he can be like, I can't follow you down this path. And you shouldn't go down it either. Or something like that. And then they can have their little, like, force push shenanigans again, and this time Kylo escapes. He goes off to join the Resistance effectively, and Rey kind of, like, takes over the First Order, and then she starts hearing a voice in her head, and it's, like, calling her to a certain place, and then it takes her all the way to Exegol. Oh my god! And there's some Emperor man going, oh my god! And then...
Scene?
More or less scene.
So, there you have it.
This still sounds bad, and we agree it's still kind of bad.
But it's definitely more interesting.
It's definitely more interesting. Because
they're definitely the most... They have the most interesting storylines in The Last Jedi.
Yes, they do.
And it's just like... It's not that we don't like the Resistance, that we don't like Finn or Rose. It's just like... A lot of these just kind of just didn't make sense.
Their character arcs don't really add anything.
Yeah. And it's just, like, Luke and Rey and Kylo have offered us, like, a lot that we can be drawn into.
The story's about them.
Yeah. So, there you have it.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi. I'm not gonna lie, I actually feel better than I thought I would after finishing this freaking episode.
That's good.
Thank God.
You definitely did a lot more reaching in this time.
Can you imagine? Like, we still have to watch Rise of Skywalker. God.
I've only watched it once, so this is gonna be like a new movie for me, to be honest. So, what's a good movie that people can watch, David?
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna subvert your expectations, and I'm actually gonna tell you, you can actually watch Knives Out. That's actually Rian Johnson's latest film, and it's a
that has Chris Evans, aka Captain America, in it, because if that wasn't enough to sell you,
and
because that's what totally sold me, but
that's all it took.
Yeah, but it was a great film. I really loved
it's
it.
Great.
Yeah,
Daniel Craig is in it, Ana de Armas is in it.
Yes,
like, it's really good. Like,
and
I was
Christopher
really...
Plummer,
oh,
R.I.P.
rest in peace. He's super good in it too.
There, like, there was a lot of good, great actors in this
Jamie
film.
Jamie Lee Curtis,
yes.
There's somebody else, but I forget. Either way, it's a great film. I still recommend you also watch Empire Strikes Back. That's another good Star Wars movie.
That's
the best Star Wars movie.
That's David's favorite.
Yeah, it truly is the best one. Go ahead and watch both of them. They're really good.
And you, like, can catch, of course, Empire Strikes Back on Disney Plus.
On Disney Plus.
And then Knives Out is on Amazon, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, so if you have Prime, go ahead and watch that.
Yes.
And yeah, seriously, Knives Out is a great movie by Rian Johnson. Like, I don't know what happened on
the only one.
It's the only really good...
At least
good,
that we know of.
That we're aware of. It's the only really good Rian Johnson film. I don't know why this happened.
I don't know why they picked him.
Nobody knows why they picked him.
Well, thanks for listening to us yet again.
Thank you so much for listening, you guys.
And tune in next week for...
Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. And we can finally put an end to this dumpster fire.
Thanks for listening, guys.
We'll see you later.
Bye.